television stations were getting complaints from people that wanted to watch The Bachelorette. I said, we don't care about the news. We don't care about the 12 tornadoes every day for eight tornadoes every day for 12 days. We want to watch The Bachelorette. And news stations were at a crosshair because they were trying to warn people. Boy, I felt like that very much part of our lives, isn't it? We warn, we talk, we share, we plead, we beg, we point, we ask, we show. And all people want to do is watch their show. And the band goes on, and people want to watch their bachelorette shows and bachelors, and they don't understand that tornadoes are coming. That in a physical way, but what about in spiritual matters? The hurricane is coming. The eye of the storm is here. Know the signs of the season. One of the signs of the season, I'll just be brief on this. I prayed for Governor Kay. She's the governor of Alabama. Alabama has really taken a stand against this nation's horrible laws that hurt the babies. And Alabama has made it clear. I prayed for Alabama. May the Lord bless Governor Kay. I know she's hated by a lot of people today. People flipping out. I don't enjoy it necessarily, but I happen to watch some of the liberal left reaction to the Alabama law. And they were literally calling Christians and conservative things that I could not even repeat here. I would desecrate a Christian meeting by the words and verbiage that they were using against Christians because of this law, and claiming that Christians were this Gestapo, Nazi, against women, against families, a total meltdown. What's amazingly is Planned Parenthood is trying to sue Alabama over this. Planned Parenthood sues over Alabama law, banning almost all abortions. Alabama law banning almost all abortions. The ACLU, Planned Parenthood, are threatening to sue. They probably will, if not already started, sue that state. In fact, even Pat Robertson, who is that Pat Robertson? Don't worry about it. He's not that important. But Pat Robertson, head of the 700 Club, CBN, ran for president at one point. Outlandish claims has come out and said the Alabama law went too far. The Alabama law is not Christian. Shame on that man, but he has no shame, so he can't really do that. The United Nations are urging the U.S. to ensure that abortion happens. This is the UN. The United Nation is urging to ensure the U.S. You're urging the U.S. to ensure that abortion happens, slamming the states that have passed this law, these certain laws that really are for the babies, really are helping babies. So United Nations slamming those laws. States are suing the federal government, especially Trump, his administration, because over clinicians or doctors' right to decline abortion on religious grounds. So doctors that don't want to do it, nurses that are Christians don't want to get into that, right? There is a right to decline. There's a right to decline, but the states that want to enforce abortions are saying, no, doctors cannot decline. Nurses cannot decline. And so you have the UN High Commissioner for the Human Rights. That's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? UN Commission of the Human Rights wanting to threat the states in the United States that are protecting human lives. The head of the Human Rights Commissioner, whose job is to protect humans, is telling the U.S. states like Alabama, Utah, Arkansas, Missouri, Ohio, Louisiana, Mississippi, Georgia, that you guys are wrong because you guys don't want to kill people. The UN gets involved, it'd be quite an interesting drama, isn't it? Because the Constitution is the law of the land, not the international courts. Now, you have also Democrats, such as Senator Gillibrand from New York, who says, well, you know what, I'm a Christian, and pro-life bills are against the Christian faith. I mean, you're denying women the rights that they have as Christians. Now, this is, you're going to see this more and more. They're going to Christianize the idea that abortion is good. They're going to Christianize the idea that you're not a Christian if you don't approve of abortion. You are not a Christian if you are against women's reproductive choices. And of course, Illinois repealed the partial birth abortion, that horrible partial birth abortion, that ban that they had, that Obama tried to push away, that ban on partial birth abortion, that Obama was so happy to get it through the books, that partial birth abortion, but they banned it. And Illinois just repealed it and wants to make a law even more radical than that of New York, than that of Vermont. More things to follow. Even Netflix is joining the militant left with Alyssa Milano. Who is Alyssa Milano anyway? Yeah, I know who she is. It's just who is she anyway? C-rated actors. Joins a list of C-rated actors, has-beens and never been, threatening Georgia to say, if you pull this stunt, the heartbeat bill, protecting babies, we're not going to support the state that has a lot of, the film industry has gone there quite a bit. I've been to Georgia. I worked for a company that was based out of Georgia. I've been there. I've seen the studios. It's like the new Paramount Hollywood thing. It's over there. Well, Netflix is joining the C-rated actors. Do you want to know who they are? So you boycott their movies and never watch them again. You wouldn't watch them anyway. Alec Baldwin, Sean Penn, Christina Applegate, threatened to boycott. Don Cheadle threatened to boycott the state. They won't work in that state anymore. We're not going to work in Georgia. How dare they want to kill? They don't want to kill kids. We do. Calling the law so evil, they said, they allegedly are chasing billions out of the state. It basically is one of the highest revenue for Georgia. The governor of Georgia responded and said, well, we're the party of freedom. We're the party of opportunity. We value and protect innocent life, even though that makes C-list celebrities squawk. I thought that was good. See celebrity squawk. Well, by the virtue of the fact that every one of these actors or prima donnas, whatever you want to call them, they think that they really are impactful in society, but they're not. I remember last election, every candidate that was supported by some celebrity lost, just to kind of show you how irrelevant they are. But nonetheless, they're going to make this continual be a attack on Christians, attack on conservatives, Christians. Quickly, the Deutsche Bank, just quickly shifting gears to the Deutsche Bank. This is the largest bank in Europe. This is one of the largest banks in the world. Their trade stock, it's $6.88. What does that mean? If it gets to about $6.40, it's gone. It's gone. And what that means is basically the IMF is very, very concerned. International Monetary Fund, that controls the whole money cycle of the world. It's concerned that if the Deutsche Bank goes, so goes Europe. Europe had some elections this past week, and the populist vote, nationalist, in Italy and Germany and France, got significant votes against those who wanting to keep the EU together. So a lot of things are changing in Europe. Migrant crisis, Islamic invasion continues to be the norm, but now they had a dangerous crossroad. Is the economic bank, the Deutsche Bank, is failing. In 2012, 2011, 2010, if you were with us way back then, we were talking about how the euro was imploding. We were talking about how there was only really one nation that controlled the banks, and that was the Deutsche Bank. And they were bailing out Ireland, they were bailing out Portugal, they were bailing out Spain. They were bailing out different countries, Greece, and they called them the pigs, P-I-G, Portugal, Ireland, and Greece. That's how much they think of them, right? The Deutsche Bank controlled all that, and they bailed them out, and they literally almost threw Europe into a disaster. But what happened, mercifully, thank the Lord, that none of those countries ended up in terrible situations. They were able to stall for a while. But it showed one thing. There were cracks within the euro. Fast forward almost 10 years later, 2019, 2020 almost, we're about to go halfway mark. In 2019, 2020, there are the dangerous signs that Europe, as it's known, the European Union, it's collapsing. What does that mean? Now, I personally believe that from Daniel chapter 2, I believe the European nation, it's part of the 10 toes. It's part of the 10 toes. Now, some people may disagree. There's an Islamic view that those were 10 Islamic kings and things like that. I don't particularly believe that or see that in the scripture. I think it's a reaction. It's a hermeneutical reaction to what's going on today. You know, they see Islam in power, and so their hermeneutics changes based on society, based on what you see outside, right? That's a normal thing that has happened throughout Christian hermeneutical history, I guess you could say, where people interpret the Bible based on their surroundings, right? So in the 80s, it was 60s, 70s, and 80s, it was Russia. Oh, Russia was everything. Russia was in every prophecy thing because it was the biggest threat. Now, Islam has become the biggest threat, and everybody reinterprets again all those passages in light of their surroundings. Now, I've understood that the prince who is to come will come from some kind of Roman Empire revive, European Union revive. But one thing Daniel 2 says, that they will not adhere to one another. Just like iron doesn't mix with clay, they will try to adhere, they will try to keep it together, but they won't, and it will have cracks. Because this kingdom is not as strong as the previous kingdom, which was iron. And it will not be as strong as the other kingdoms, which was bronze, silver, and you have gold at the top. This 10 toes, the 10 kings, will have cracks. These toes will have cracks. These toes will not be adhering, just like iron doesn't mix with clay. Well, in the world today, they are forcing a unity, a false unity, through economics, through ideology, communism, humanitarian, social justice. They're forcing this union that it won't stick. You already see it in Europe. It will not work. God is not going to make it work. But it will come a time where there will be that one king that will come. He'll throw off three of them. He'll set up his own kingdom, and he himself will want to be the last kingdom. He's called the Antichrist. He comes out of the 10, but he wants to be the one, and he throws three off. That's Daniel chapter 7, chapter 8, and you can see that things are happening in Europe. Whenever you see this kind of power vacuum happening in Europe, this changing, radical changes, things in Europe have happened that are not so good. They've been actually terrible. Hitler came out of those. Napoleon came out of that. And you have examples all throughout history. When Europe goes that way, there's something that is going to happen that is worse than what it was now. You think European Union is bad? You think the Islamic invasion is bad? Wait until they actually are able to form some kind of coalition, even against Israel, even against God's people. You already see Europe turning against Christianity. They did it a long time ago. And now they're arresting preachers in England, Christian England, the land of Spurgeon and Wesley, arresting Christians for preaching the gospel. And they are the ones that want to leave the European Union through Brexit. What's going to happen in Belgium and Brussels and places like that? But anyway, let's continue. The Pentagon asking Trump to send thousands of troops. Now, they've agreed on 1,500 at some point. All these covert operations, I can't really say that I know exactly what's happening because a lot of this is covert, but Poland, our bases in Poland have been, what would be the word, have been authorized to get ready for possible scrimmage with Russia, but certainly the one in Iran. Now, what I wonder is always like, why do they need to call the one in Poland to get ready if the issue is really in the Middle East? Personally, I believe in, correct me if I'm wrong after, but correct me if I'm wrong, I think they see the real threat coming from Russia at this point, not just Iran. Iran for sure, but not just Iran, but also from Russia. Otherwise, there would be no reason to have it from Poland. Now, there could be other reasons. There could be tactical maneuvering. There could be sort of like the sleight of hand, hey, look at here when this is happening. There's all that. But at the same time, the Pentagon has already asked to do that. Iran is threatening to start their nuclear, restart their nuclear agreements again until the demands are met because they've been blocked off from selling their oil. There's a huge, basically, the U.S. has blocked a lot of the ships coming into the Strait of Hormuz, but Iran is ready to engage the world in trading. They said, but we want to start our nuclear weapons again. We want to start our nuclear reactors again. But we won't do it unless if we have our demands met, meaning that you let us trade for oil and things like that. Now, who's behind it all? Russia. Russia is warning. Putin can intervene if the U.S. goes to war with Iran. Isn't this fascinating? Which confirms my idea about the Polish base that they were gearing up. Why? Because Putin wants to warn the U.S. Look, if you start heading this way, in the brink of war, the U.S. will have to meet Russia. The U.S. will have to put up with what Russia is able to do. Now, this was always a threat because Iran has this coalition with Turkey and with Russia. Not so much China, but China is in the mix of it. Now, switching gears, and this is, we'll spend a little bit of time here on it, LGBT progressive horror stories. Are you ready for this? This is not to alarm anybody or to make anybody squeamish. We know today that people have gender reassignment, lack of a better, gender reassignment surgery. Don't ask me how that works, but they do it. It happens. They make celebrities out of these people like that. They're confused. They want to be men. They want to be women. They want to have their things castrated. They want to have their parts changed, added, whatever. Gender reassignment. State of California pays for it, especially if you're in prison. They want to have it, state tax. They could do it. But what about when they want to have that done to babies? Welcome to the world of not babies. It's a they-be. What do you mean a they-be? A they-be is basically, we want to raise our children without a gender. We believe a gender is something that the doctor assigns them at the time of birth. Now, I've been at the birth of all my children. And I know who they are. I know what happened. I know what gender they are. And I didn't have the doctor to tell me that. I didn't need a doctor to tell me all this. I simply understood from biology and anatomy that it's either a boy or a girl, right? I study science, chromosomes, XY, XX. That's what comes. That's the normal biological function. Now, they have mutations and things like that, and we study mutations. That's like 0.001% of the population. Terrible things happen in mutations, but it's almost impossible to meet somebody that has a radical mutation like that. However, in our gender equality world and a world that wants to have progressivism and the destruction of the Christian family and the destruction of kids, not only babies in the womb, but now when the baby comes out, they said, we want to make sure that baby has no gender. Now, Canada does this, the UK in some places, through their passports and through their birth certificates, can opt out of, instead of calling the baby he, she, or male, female, they could just pick a gender, a neutral, N or something, or I don't know, or you know, changing or whatever, fluidity, I don't know, something that that does not design the normal male, female, binary one. They want to have everything else. Now the quest is this. There are people today that are called Nulos. Anybody know what a Nulo is? No. A Nulo, you do. What is a Nulo? It's bizarre. It is. Basically, a Nulo, it's somebody who has maimed themselves, right? Somebody who's made themselves by maiming their own body. Basically, they cut off their biological parts, remove the reproductive organs because they want to be genderless. And we have a whole new aspect of our society that's neither male nor female. They don't want to be known as the binary male or female. They want to be genderless. And it's gotten such a point that doctors are concerned because people are actually castrating themselves at home. Kids have been rushed to the hospital because they're bleeding to death over what they did to their bodies. And doctors are saying, look, if you're going to do it, come to us. Don't do this. You're going to die. There's been cases where they nearly die. But when society celebrates it, and you got people like this that are going in for surgery, this couple here, they want to be a couple, but they're genderless. The first genderless couple. 99% of their 99% of the man's body is covered with tattoos. He wants to be completely genderless. He had himself castrated. His partner, his wife, whatever the girl is, wants to be gendered. These are genderless people. They don't really have any gender. You can't call them a he, she, whatever, Randy, Joe, Amy, whatever. They're simply nulos. Neither gender. Well, what does it have to do with this? Well, they want to start giving babies hormone treatments or even castration at the moment of birth. So they're born and they grow up without any gender at all whatsoever. And of course, if you're a man and if you're white, that's even the worst part about it, right? Because that's the war against white men. So you got a war against that. But a war against men completely. Genderless. Well, they already legalized fantasy. They're already basically legalized infanticide when you have babies being killed in the womb in Illinois, New York, and things like that, in places like Vermont. But now that even the born ones, even the ones that are outside the womb, we don't want to let them grow up to be boys. It's toxic. We want to let them grow up to be nulos. And they need to be treated differently. And of course, if you're a nulo, you go to social media, you're given instant access. You're given instant credibility. And of course, all in the name of gender equality. By the way, the same people that are doing this to kids in the womb and outside the womb are also bowing down to this. Now check this one out. U.S. schools in Maryland. A U.S. school in Maryland told the kids this. Now, this is part of their curriculum. Most Muslims' faith is stronger than the average Christian. Islam is at heart a peaceful religion. Jihad is a personal struggle of devotion to Islam, especially involving spiritual discipline. To Muslims, Allah is the same God that is worshipped in Christianity and Judaism. Men are the managers of the affairs of women, and righteous women are therefore obedient. The problem is those statements were part of the instruction in a public school in Maryland. And there was one girl, an 11th grader, named Kayla Wood, who says, you know what? This idea that the Muslim faith is stronger than our Christian faith, says, I'm a professing Christian. I believe in Jesus. I said, I can't recite this. I can't recite this because they wanted to recite the Muslim prayer, you know, the Muslim statements. And she said, I can't do it. I cannot repeat the same anti-Christian assignment. Or the anti-Christian statements that you're saying. So she failed the class. She failed the class, and she would not be allowed to opt out. She wasn't allowed to opt out. She wasn't allowed to remake the assignment and another assignment. The lower course gave a free pass to Maryland schools to teach Islam, even when it puts down other religions, so-called religion and Christianity. And, of course, now there's a fight because the 11th grader says, I am not doing this assignment. Oh, you are, said the public school system. Oh, you are. Oh, no, I'm not. And so now it's going to be required for her to stand in court to give an account of why she is not going to recite the Muslim prayer or this assignment and give an account of her faith. What a... Huh? It is biblical. What a world. It's like the days of Daniel. It's like the days of the disciples. I was just studying Acts 4. When they were brought in before the courts, before the Sanhedrin, to give an account. And Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he preached to them. What a world. But wait a minute, these are the same people that want this, nulos, that are pushing this, who, by the way, doesn't believe in this, who in a Muslim Sharia law country, unfortunately, they would be executed and killed. I don't want them to be executed and killed. I love them. Jesus died for them. The devil has played a horrible game on them. And they're driven by their feelings and emotions. And of course, they're sinful just like me. They need a savior. But Islam wants to kill them. Yet the same people that are promoting the nulos and gender equality are saying, no, Islam is the key. Islam is the key to society. Did you notice that part? Men are the managers of the affairs of women, and righteous women are therefore obedient. I thought this was about gender equality. I thought this was about progressivism. Don't believe it for a second. Don't believe it for a second. This is not about that. It's about votes. It's about money. It's about corruption. It's about destroying God. It's about destroying the Christian faith in our nation. Absolutely, without a doubt. I can back up every one of these words that I just said. But anyway, it's going to continue because this is the month of Ramadan. It's only got about a week and a half left of Ramadan. So this was part of the school program of Freedom Conscious Defense Fund, who's defending Kayla, who's saying, if this is part of your program, then why do we have separation of church and state and schools? You can't preach about Jesus. You can't send a Muslim, you can't send a Christian to a Muslim school and have him recite John 3:16. Why are we reciting the Islamic prayer? Well, of course, it's not about equal rights. It's not about anything like that. Of course, Ocasio-Cortez says Muslims and Christians, you know, their prayers go to the same place. What's everybody arguing about? I know. I got to play you this. Of course, Omar the Terrible. Now listen to her words. Listen to her words. She is very anti. She is pro-abortion. She is anti-Christian faith, pro-abortion, and literally attacks Christians. Tlaib, the other Muslim congresswoman, who is from Michigan, has said some horrible things about Jews. So has Omar. Now, here's one attacking Christians, and I want you to listen to it because she's very, very open about it. When you start hearing things like that, it makes you wonder, is anybody listening? Or maybe they want to go watch the Bachelor or something like that, because what she said would have been alarming.
Religious fundamentalists are currently trying to manipulate state laws in order to impose their beliefs on an entire society, all with complete disregard for voices and the rights of American women. Their recent efforts, like those in Alabama, in Georgia, are only the latest in a long history of efforts to criminalize women for simply existing, to punish us when we don't conform to their attempts to control us. But because it's happening here with the support of the ultra-conservative religious right, we call it religious freedom. I am frustrated every single time I hear people speaking about their faith.
Frustrated when she hears people talk about her faith, their faith. Now, which faith is she talking about? Is she talking about the Buddhist faith, the Hindu faith? Oh, the Christian faith. I have watched, just because I'm a big nerd, I have watched some of Hitler's old speeches that he did in Berlin, that he did in some of the enclosed places that they have on film before the Holocaust really began. Some of these have been recorded, and she can watch some of them online. I'm not saying she was verbatim, but boy, there's some similarities in what she said and what Hitler used to say, that he was frustrated at the growth of the Jewish people and the control that they had. I'm going to play it again because you need to, you know, if you didn't hear it.
Religious fundamentalists are currently trying to manipulate state laws in order to impose their beliefs on an entire society, all with complete disregard for voices and the rights of American women. Their recent efforts, like those in Alabama, in Georgia, are only the latest in a long history of efforts to criminalize women for simply existing, to punish us when we don't conform to their attempts to control us. But because it's happening here with the support of the ultra-conservative religious right, we call it religious freedom. I am frustrated every single time I hear people speaking about their faith.
Frustrated about you and I speaking about our faith? That's right. Not, nothing. They just want to watch The Bachelorette.
Or the
They just want to watch The Bachelorette. That's what they want to do. Or the baseball game. Now, this is dangerous. I don't want to make I have to make it a big deal because I don't think anybody's going to listen to it. But when she says something like that, you pay attention. She's not a low-life like me down the street just holding a sign. She's a congresswoman. She was voted in by her district, which is a mess. But nonetheless, there's people that put her in office. Now, another person, yes. They've said some things, Franklin Graham, and they've said some things, but not to the degree that will make any impact, unfortunately. Oh, yeah, well, there's a lot of things that they're not what they are. Well, another Democratic presidential candidate, Mr. Pete Buttigieg, spent much of the day attacking Israel. Attacking Israel. Said they need to change their policies. We can't be supporting a nation like that if we're going to... This is a presidential candidate. I don't think he's going to have any traction. But nonetheless, anti-women, anti-Christian, anti-babies, anti-Israel. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Now, speaking of Israel, and I'm going to read from the Psalms because it's a prophetic psalm. The Knesset votes today for new elections, September 17th. They dissolved the Knesset. They had 42 days since the election of the election of Benjamin Netanyahu, 42 days to complete his coalition. So they needed a certain amount of people in the Knesset that would be in coalition with Netanyahu's party. He did not get it. He did not get the coalition. And therefore, they're going to break up the Knesset because the Likud party it's going to help dissolve the Knesset, I should say, because they could not get anything in order. And they lost their vote 74-45, and it's a big mess. Jews have no unity. There's hundreds of different parties. We have two, but they have more. And they have no unity at all whatsoever. In fact, many of these parties don't like each other. The ultra-Orthodox don't like this other party. They're arguing about whether the people in the Jews in the yeshiva, you know, the ultra-Orthodox, should they fight in a war? Should they be drafted into the war? It created this huge issue because they promised certain things to the ultra-Orthodox. They didn't get it. They were going to leave it up to the Supreme Court. They didn't want to do it. And it's all about, basically, Orthodox men, are they going to be drafted into the army? Are they liable to be drafted into the army? There's all kinds of mess, which puts the peace agreement that Trump wanted to do with Jared Kushner and on hold until then, because this was not expected. Trump's supposed to be there tomorrow. In a few hours, it's already almost tomorrow in Israel, with Kushner to speak with Netanyahu. It was already scheduled. This is not like a late meeting, but this is already scheduled. And now there's another hurdle in it. As we were praying this afternoon, we know the Lord's in control. He's not going to allow it to happen until it's time. Now, I'm going to read from the Psalm, Psalm 122, famous Psalm. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within our gates. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem that's built as a city that is compact together, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel to give thanks to the Lord for the name of the Lord. For their thrones were set for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces for the sake of my brothers and my friends. Now, we know that that chapter because of one verse. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And it's one of those verses that is often quoted out of context. What is the context? I will tell you what the context is. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper those who love you. This is a Psalm of David. It's a song of ascent. It's an upbeat psalm. What was the psalm about? Well, to go to the house of the Lord, to be united under King David, to have a unity and a closeness between brother and brother, Jew and Jew, together. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, in context, means pray that the Jews be united under one king. That's what it means to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. There's still to this day no peace in Jerusalem. And there'll be no peace until the Jewish people are under their King David, the son of David, Jesus the Messiah. Unfortunately, we take this verse and we say, just pray for the peace of Jerusalem, no missiles, attacks, and stuff like that. I get it, it's understandable. But when you're praying for the peace of Jerusalem, that's ultimately what we're praying for, that the Jewish people would repent and believe in the Son of David who has come to be their Messiah. We see the pictures today. The Knesset is a mess. There's no unity. They have no unity. They all hate each other, but they have one thing in common. They know the Muslims hate them more than they hate the other Jews, and therefore they have to work together to prevent death. But there's no love. There's no unity. There's going to be no peace. Daniel prophesied in Daniel 9, there'll be wars and desolations until the end. That's the expected thing. People believe that things are going to get better in the world. I'm not saying you guys, but you're progressing. The progressive things are going to be great. If we just eliminate Christians, everything will be fine. That's what people believe today. Unfortunately, it's not going to happen. The Jews are not going anywhere. God has a controversy with Israel. They've rejected the Son of God. They've rejected the Messiah. And they're under the curse of the law, which they cannot keep because they don't even have an atoning sacrifice. God would even accept their atoning sacrifice, even if it had started today, because he's done one. He's accepting the one and only sacrifice of Jesus. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Absolutely. May Jesus come, and may those Jewish people become one in Jesus, just like we're supposed to be one today. This could apply to Christians. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Absolutely. Pray that the Christians are unified in the fellowship of the Spirit today, because we're going to need each other desperately, knowing the conditions that we're in. By the way, Kushner, Greenblatt, and Trump will arrive in Israel to meet with Netanyahu, but also there'll be a meeting on the 30th and 31st. Is that tomorrow? It is tomorrow. Arab Parliament to speak about the unity of the Arabs in Mecca. What's going to be the topic? What to do with Iran, and how do we support Israel? The Arabs are joining together to come against Iran, which are not Arabs, by the way. They're Iranians. They're not Arabs. And by the way, Kushner and Greenblatt will arrive in Israel to meet with Netanyahu, but also to meet with the King of Jordan and Morocco as well, because they want this peace plan to roll out by June 9th, I believe it was, the original date. Now that this Knesset is dissolved and September 17th is now the date, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to say except for God's in charge. Huh? July 9th, yeah. That's true. It'll be some different date that we never thought about. But the Lord is in charge of this. By the way, huge earthquake in Peru, 8.0. Miraculously, only two people have died, too many. But at the same time, it could have been a disaster. But the problem is, more earthquakes are coming down the Pacific coast, or up the Pacific coast, whichever way you want to go, up or down. But all up and down the Pacific coast, expecting earthquakes, expecting aftershocks. To finish off, we just got a few more. Been reading a lot more about the Chinese social credit system. Some of the stuff, it's unbelievable. I'll read some of it to you guys. And there is a video. I couldn't bring it today because it was about 2 minutes. It'll take too long. People get mad at me if I go too long. But there's a video, and I'm tempted to post it, but maybe I'm tempted to bring it next week. It's about the 5G network in China, how police are going to be using it. And there's a video, a demonstration of how they use 5G network with facial recognition. It's unbelievable. You think you're watching a movie. Now, it's a commercial, but it's describing something that they could do today. And there's this one person that's running away from the police, and they everywhere he goes, I don't recommend the movie per se because it was a long time ago, and it has foul language. I remember watching it a long time ago, Enemy of the State. So if anybody's watching and gets upset, yeah, that was a long time ago before I was a Christian. I didn't care for the movie back then, but I remember the scenario. It was like that commercial was watching the Enemy of the State. No matter where they went, they were found. They were tracked. Police had facial recognition, and with the 5G network, it's super quick to, I mean, between 3G and 4G, it was quite a difference, if you remember. But the difference between 4G and 5G is not even compare to 3G to 4G. It is light years and beyond. Plus, it's a lot of things, but 5G's got a lot of issues health-wise and things like that. But this is what China's doing. The new system. Now, imagine calling your friend. By the way, this is through WeChat, which is a big popular app in China, the number one app in China for chatting and calling and things like that, WeChat. And imagine calling your friend and hearing a voice right before your friend answers that says, be careful, you're about to call someone that is under surveillance and should not be trusted. Are you sure you want to let this call go through? Oh, I didn't know my friend was like that. And you hang up the phone, right? Be careful of your dealings with them. Well, that's what happens in China. If somebody has a social credit system, in their social credit system, if their score is too low, and you try to contact them, you will hear from somebody in the government who says, don't trust this person. This dealings with this person will damper your score, will damper your relationship. How many people are going to go through with that call if it's going to affect your score? Social credit system, it's ruining people's lives in China to the degree that in the Beijing airport to catch a flight that's 1,200 miles south, a clerk at the counter turns you away because your score is too low. And now instead of taking that trip on a one-way stop to 1,200 miles, now you have to take a trip that takes you 30 hours because now your social score is so low, you have to take a slow-moving truck or slow-moving train just to get wherever you want to get to because you're untrustworthy. A low social score will exclude you from well-paying jobs, will exclude you from getting a house, a car, a hotel room, unless it's really expensive. The government will slow your internet connection down. Oh, forget that. That would be the death of this world, death of our society, right? Your internet connection, your children won't be able to go to private schools. Your profile on a public blacklist so everybody to see. By the way, Australia thinks this is a really good system for them, and they want to bring it in. There's a map called the WeChat map. I don't think that's a picture of it, but you get the point. A WeChat map. And on the app, it shows you who has low credit scores or low rating scores. I'll say credit score. Low rating scores around you. It's sort of like if you've ever been on a website that has rapist or child molesters in there's certain databases that you can go online and find that they live around you, they describe with certain aspects. Yeah, that's right. Imagine that being not about child molesters or anything like that, but about people that have a social low score system because they're not adhering to the government, they're not adhering to the policies of the government, they're seen as a threat or they're untrustworthy, and you can find them. And by the way, you can actually improve your score. You know how you can improve your score? Turning them in. Now, this is creating a big problem because the two kinds of people that are the Chinese government is after, well, I guess there's three. The Uyghur people that are Muslims down in the east and the west area by the mountains that they're trying to control. The Christians who have gone underground for the most part, who don't conform. And, of course, anybody else who is a rebel are under surveillance by the Chinese government. So these Christians are very much illegally meet in Christian homes for the purpose of Bible studies and worship. The Uyghur people that are Muslims worship in public, but they're also attacked. And so Chinese government is also bringing this to Latin America. The first country who's adopting this, Venezuela. They have adopted it's their first customer. That's what they call them. Their first customer of the Chinese dystopian society. And it's coming to Australia, maybe. But a lot of Australian government officials like it. And it's quite an amazing thing. Can you imagine a world like that? It's unbelievable. We're not talking about a movie or some distant future where one day it'll be like this. There are Christian believers today in China that are going through that. And we pray for a brother that should be coming soon. We pray for his visa and family's visa, but we pray that the Lord bring them safely. But this is what's at stake. And don't think for a moment it couldn't come to any one of our states, any one of our places. especially in the name of protection, in the name of security, in the name of whatever. All I have to do is read Revelation 13. And I look at this world and I look at what's happening and go, man, oh, I love God's word. It warns me, preempts me, it tells me, it prepares me for a world in which perhaps maybe in our lifetime or not, I can't say exactly, that the world, the Bible projects and predicts that there will be a leader, an antichrist who will govern the world in that way, who no one will be able to buy, sell, trade, do any kind of commerce. And you notice the battle is always about money. It's commerce. It's taking you out of the economic system. It's relieving you from society and putting you outside of society. And you can't earn a living anymore and you can't work anymore. And if there was a currency that was attached to that banishment, you would be really, really banished. You would be really without any hope unless God took care of you. And you know, I believe that's what it's coming. It's what's in the direction that it's going. So know this, the genocide of Christians is reaching an alarming rate. I don't know if I posted this or not, but even secular organizations, even like the New York Times or the BBC has come out and said, yes, we're living in unprecedented times. Christian persecution is near genocide levels. And it's not just in one place, it's in several places. Almost the entire world, especially in the East, not so much in the West. And so the most persecuted religious groups by far, Christians. Biggest threat to governments, according to China, Christians. Biggest threat to democratic, Marxist, communist, Islamic, LGBT party, Christians. You even heard it from the mouth of one of their congresswomen. And as much as you want to say Pelosi and the old guard are in charge, if they were, they would have gotten rid of these people. But the fact is they believe exactly what they say. They're just a little more brazen and they're able to talk about it. We do need to pray for our Christians in India, by the way. I know a brother, I may be able to talk to him this week, who goes to India quite a bit, Brother Mark. And our prayer is for the persecution in India. Now, things are in some areas are really bad, but they just elected Prime Minister Modi, and he's leading a push to make India a pure Hindu nation. That's what he wants, a pure Hindu nation. This is his second term. It's a five-year term. So next five-year terms, Christians are experiencing increased persecution. How? Because there's many Hindus that have become Christians. Those Hindus that have become Christians are now regarded as impure. They're not pure. And he wants a pure Hindu nation. They will be arrested. They have been arrested, false charges, forced conversions, they would say, forced conversions, like you were forced to convert under duress, so therefore you can come back to Hinduism and you can leave that crazy Christian faith and you can become one of us again. And that is the biggest temptation among Christians in India today, is having that opportunity to go back and escape persecution. Sounds like the book of Hebrews. Sounds like the book of Hebrews, where the Jewish believers in Jerusalem were being tempted to go back under the law, back under the temple, and escape any persecution, escape anything that was going to come bad against Jewish Christians because they were not allowed in certain places. They certainly were kicked out of their homes and their families. And yet the book of Hebrews talks about staying firm in your faith, not to go back, not to give up on Jesus. Because he's greater than the law of Moses, angels, the temple, tabernacle, the Aaronic priesthood. He was absolutely the best. Don't go back. Don't stray away. So you have all these wonderful reminders in the book of Hebrews that a lot of people don't like, because it was encouraging Christians not to fall away, encouraging Christians not to drift away, not to go back, not to renounce your faith, not to harden your heart against the Lord. That makes sense. As much as we want to fight against those verses, they're very much the word of God. It very much so encourages at a time where Christians are being at knife point and at economic point are told to turn away from their faith. So we need to pray. Let's pray now and ask the Lord for boldness. Not so much protection, but boldness. Yes, God has got to protect us as much as he will allow certain things to happen in our lives. He's in charge. But for boldness and for courage, no Christian ever ran back and was by turning back, they didn't become better Christians. That's what I'm trying to say. No Christians ever turned their back on their faith and became better Christians. No Christian ever compromised and would become better Christians. Better Christians became better Christians when they asked God for boldness and empower the Holy Ghost to go forward, and God met them there. So let's pray and ask the Lord for more boldness. Protection, yes, I believe we can pray for God to deliver us from evil men and from the evil one. Paul and Jesus prayed that way. So we could ask the Lord for that. And we pray for our brothers who are in persecution. Ask the Lord for more courage in our lives. So I'm going to pray, and just for a few minutes. It doesn't have to be long. I'd ask you guys to lift up your voice before the Lord. We can shut off the stream and ask the Lord for more boldness and courage.